Let us bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy art thou. Truly thou art worthy of all praise and thanks. And we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to worship thy name and to open thy precious and living word, to instruct, to teach, to admonish, to correct, and to strengthen each of our hearts into thy ways and the obedience unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless thy word to us this morning, O Lord, for we need thee and thy Spirit's guidance and presence to be with us. We thank thee for gathering us and for protecting us from the cold and for giving us a place where the warmth of thy love abounds. And we pray that we would let thy peace and thy love abound within our hearts, and that as we have freely received, that we would also freely give and share with one another, that all might feel thy nearness. These things we do pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I desire that we would read together this morning from the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 14. I'd like to read the entire chapter of Acts 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. This passage that we've read gives the account of the end of Paul's first missionary journey. The end of the chapter, we read that Paul came to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Paul and Barnabas were sent by the church in Antioch after they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to send them out to teach the word. Antioch was a church where there were Gentile believers, where the word of God was growing, where there were teachers declaring the truth of the word, and they felt by God's Spirit and leading that there was a need. There was a need to share this word. And God saw it fit that he would send Paul and Barnabas. And so they go from Antioch, which is a city on the Sea of Mediterranean Sea. If you look in the back of the Bibles, you can find a map. And on the little black line, it shows their path. And they left from Antioch, which is just north of Israel and Syria. And they went to the island of Cyprus, and then from there to the middle of modern-day Turkey. In the Bible, it's called Asia. But we would call it Turkey today. And then this chapter that we've read, these cities, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and the others that are mentioned at the end briefly, they're in the middle of modern-day Turkey. And this is where Paul is. And this chapter records the power of God and the great things that the Lord was doing, but it also records how difficult and how much opposition there was, especially from the Jews. Yet regardless, when Paul comes together with the church in Antioch, he comes, as it were, back home. He tells the church, God has opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. With all of the opposition, with all of the hardship that he endured, he said, God is opening a door for faith. And that is a beautiful perspective. That things can be hard for this flesh. Things can be challenging in life. But what is Apostle Paul focusing on? But how the Lord is opening the door for faith. And it is often the case. When challenges come and we are tested, that opens the door for faith and provides opportunity for us to remember how much we must trust upon the Lord and His help. When Paul goes to the city Iconium, he preaches and teaches in the synagogue, and there was a mixed response. Some believed, and some Jews stayed in unbelief. Just as it was when Jesus preached and taught, there were some that embraced, and there were those that rejected. And the unbelieving Jews in Jesus' time were also stirring up the people of their nation. They were also stirring up the Gentile rulers against our Lord. And yet, there's a beautiful verse here, verse 3, which has something, I believe, for us to consider this morning. They stayed a long time there, speaking boldly in the Lord. And the Lord provided a testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The word of the Lord came forth and was declared, but it was not just the speaking of men or words and ideas, but it was accompanied by the power of the Lord. And that is true. And that is necessary. That the word is accompanied with power. In this case, the power was expressed in signs and wonders. We see in the next city, in Lystra, that there's a man that was crippled. He never walked, and he was healed. But the Lord can also provide his strengthening and show his power in ways that aren't so visible. He shows them when we need to endure and be patient. And when he does not change the hardship or the difficulty or the challenge that is facing our life. But he calls us to believe upon him. He calls us to endure. And we see it, Apostle Paul, he focuses upon faith. He focuses upon the word of the Lord and how it is changing lives. It is taking a man and a woman who were dead in sin, providing salvation, hope of eternal life, comfort and peace. And this is coming from the power of the word of the Lord. It's not man's wisdom. It's not because we learned so much. But it's by God's grace that he changes our lives and brings us into his kingdom. And that's a miracle too. No less than the ones that were seen with the eyes. When God changes a man, when God changes a woman, when he touches their hearts, and they become new, this is the word of God and a testimony of the Lord to his word of grace. And we should be looking for this. We should be looking for the power of the Lord to be made known as his word goes forth. We pray often for healings and for helps, but we also pray for faith and for patience to endure We also pray for changed hearts, for a love like our Lord. We are looking for these things. And it's reassuring to know that the Lord's word is accompanied by his power. Jesus even foretold that this is how the word would be declared. Before Christ ascended, he told his disciples at the end of the Gospel of Mark to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he continued, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And Jesus' words are being fulfilled in the lives of the apostles and in the early church as the word goes forth with power. And this testimony and the signs that are given to reassure those who are hearing this perhaps for the first time that this is true. Jesus even used his own works that he had done to testify that he was the Christ. When the disciples of John came to him and he asked, art thou the Christ or do we look for another? He said, go tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Let that be a testimony. Let the power of God as it is working be a testimony to the truth of the word. That those who do not know or those who may question might see and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brother and sister, we are all called to that. To bear witness of the power of God as he is helping us. At times he chooses to heal. He provides a miracle in that sense, but he also provides a miracle in giving internal strength to our soul to endure in patience and simplicity, which is a light and a testimony to a world that lacks this and is walking in darkness. We can bear witness of the light of his grace and how he changed our life and how he reorders our priorities and desires so that we won't desire those old things that the world is still looking for satisfaction in, but we find our peace and contentment in the Lord and can bear witness to the world that is looking for help, looking for calm, looking for reassurance, that we know where to find it. We find it in the Word of God and in our Heavenly Father who cares for us. This is but one way that the Lord shows his strength and gives a testimony unto the word of his grace. There are quieter ways. And there are ways in which God works where he does not change the outward man and the outward situation. And yet calls us to endure. And that is a strength of the Lord that accompanies his word. And Paul was very familiar with that too. It's fascinating to see. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that to Paul there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a minister of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. And for this thing, he prayed and besought unto the Lord three times, that it might depart from him. And the Lord's response to him was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It's a wonder that the Lord, who worked these miracles through the life of Paul and Barnabas, when Paul had a need, God had a different way of showing his strength through his life. A way that did not draw any attention to the flesh or to an event that happened, but opened the door of faith. And in this weakness that Paul was called upon to carry, God is wise in how he directs his strength. He knows what is best. And it is reassuring to know that the presence of the Lord and his help is sufficient for us when we are called to endure and to bear. And so Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." An opportunity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Not our own strength, not our own abilities, or freedom from the challenges that are beyond us, but the power of Christ. And he rejoices in that. Jesus also spoke about this. He spoke about a time that there would be great trials coming even upon the church. Great trials and tribulation that comes upon the world. And we must make our hearts and our souls ready. He said that there is coming a time when nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And we see that this has happened throughout history, that Christians have been called to bear witness and to suffer persecution for Christ's name. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren, and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And all these things are going to happen, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. But you will be called to endure it. And God will be present with you, and he will help you, and he will be near, and his comfort and fellowship in Christ will be the precious treasure that you hold on to. That you know that Christ went through far more for you and for your salvation, and that you are just getting just a little bit closer to understanding his love. So Jesus says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Jesus wants us to be prepared, to be patient, and to rely upon his presence, even when he does not change the outward circumstance, to trust that his presence is sufficient, to trust that he is the Lord. He has made us and not we ourselves. Our plans and our questions and our pursuits are not what is most important, but the Lord's plan. And Paul knew that. He knew that the Lord had a plan for letting him keep that thorn in the flesh. And so may we say with Paul, if it's God's will that we suffer for his glory and for his namesake, let the Lord's will be done. And may he do whatever his will is. We learn to surrender. And we walk through that open door of faith with that mindset, with that heart. There's a song in the Zion's Harp that speaks and gives a beautiful testimony, perhaps, of one who had gone through trial. And this song reflects upon it. It's number 93. When we say God is our hope and our expectation. The question is asked in the last two verses, must I suffer pain and trial? If this is what I need to go through, though I feel the burden grow, to endure without denial, yet my God is true, I know. Far from me be all despairing, while thou art my burden sharing, I would heed thy guidance still, as thou wilt, not as I will. Unto thee have I commended all with a contented heart. Every woe will soon be ended. Joy will take the place of smart. When I shall behold from heaven all the guidance thou hast given, then I deeply moved shall say, blessed hast thou planned my way. God is good. Let us take heart in the truth that his word is accompanied by his power. And it can be present in that quiet moment when we trust him and we let his will be done. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.
We can truly see the power when a heart is yielded to the Lord as to what the Lord can do through such a one. The Apostle Paul had a weakness in the flesh, for which he besought the Lord to help him, and the Lord simply said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He had a weakness. He proclaimed the gospel. He had opposition. He proclaimed the gospel. He yielded himself to the Lord. And therefore he wrote in Romans, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. He obeyed. He yielded himself in obedience unto the Lord. And it was granted unto him that he should be righteous. It was granted unto him that the Lord would work through him. As we read here in verse number 3. Long time, therefore, they abode speaking boldly in the Lord. They abode there. There was opposition against them, but they abode long time speaking boldly in the Lord, which the Lord gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done in their hands. The Lord used the Apostle Paul because he yielded himself to the Lord. He yielded himself to the Lord and gave glory unto the Lord and showed the way and made the burdens lighter as he went here and as he healed the impotent man. Our lives are blessed when we yield to the Lord. And then as was referenced in the message this morning and as we just sung, when we are in heaven, and if we're given recollection of what has transpired here upon this earth, we will see that as we've yielded ourselves to the Lord, that the Lord has blessed our way here upon this earth. He really blessed our way. We'll be deeply moved by the grace and the strength and the help that the Lord has given unto us. But ours is to yield to Him, not to our knowledge, not to our strength, not to our cunning ability, but to yield ourselves to the Lord, that His power might work through us. Amen.